morning and welcome to worship. We are so glad that you are here. My name is Steve Price. I'm one of the pastors here with Harvest, and I am delighted, with Trinity. Whew! Wow! That was a blast from the past. Glad that you are here. If it's your first time with us, we are especially delighted to welcome you as our guest. Hope that you will let us know you are here, and you can do that by signing a connection card that is in your bulletin. And in that bulletin, if you are new, if you would just share as much information as you are comfortable with, if you are here regularly, if you could put your name and your email address, that would be very helpful. Today, we had a wonderful opportunity, which is why we got started just a couple of minutes late at this service. We had over 40 third graders receive their Bibles this morning as a part of our Bible presentation. What a wonderful thing that Trinity has so many young ones among us that we have the privilege of doing that. So thank you for your patience as we made the shift from 9:40 to 11. I hope that today will be an opportunity for us to reconnect with our own desire to learn from God's Word as well. As we remember the words of Jesus from the Gospel of John, where he says, "If you make my word your home, then you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Well, we're glad that you have come to be here with us today as we worship and as we learn more from God's Word. And so as a way of greeting, I say to you, welcome home. It's great to be home. Let me invite you to stand and greet someone near you as we prepare to worship today.
Good morning. Would you continue to stand as we begin our worship together with singing the opening hymn?
Jesus. this morning, may we be lost in wonder, love, and praise. May your Spirit flow through this place and through each one of us. Open us to hear your word, to lift our voices in prayer and in praise, and then to go out into the world transformed so that we can transform the world. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Now each week we have an opportunity to affirm our faith, to be reminded again of what we believe, and for those who doubt, to be reaffirmed by the body as we say this together. So I invite you to join me in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in
to invite you to turn your attention to the screen for the next couple of moments where you can learn about one of our wonderful partnerships that we have here at Trinity and an opportunity to make a difference today in that partnership. So have a look.
Trinity Sister Church is a Methodist church in Central England, Cuba. The church is over 100 years old. It's in a wonderful location. There's a central road that goes all the way to Central England, Safara. It's in a wonderful place for evangelism, and the people have been marvelously responsive to us in caring and love.
The Cienfuegos Church was partially damaged. The roof was destroyed in the 2005 hurricane that hit Cuba, causing a lot of damage all over the country. But the Trinity United Methodist Church has been blessed with the sister church relationship and being able to financially and morally support the church over the years since then, fighting destruction. The church has, through their membership, has been able to multiply our financial support, even though they are meager means.
The people in Cuba and the Methodist churches there are rich in faith, but poor in material resources. The average salary is about $20 a month. That includes a pastor's salary. So they really need our encouragement and help.
The work that's being done is almost complete, getting very close, with the main project left is to resurface and tile the sanctuary floor. And what we'd like to do is focus on a new, finish that mission, but focus on a new new way to help Cienfuegos Church. In that they have four mission churches, four house churches that they have spun off from their church. And these all need support. And $300 a year is what we're trying to provide for each house church. It basically doubles the pastor's salary and provides some local support.
Cienfuegos is our sister church in Cuba. And you heard John and Sanford in that video identify a couple of ways in which our generosity can serve the needs of our friends there. I want to tell you about one other way that we thought of. You know, you probably recognized or saw children, a number of children in that video in the different images. And this morning, just a little while ago, right here at these rails, we handed out Bibles to our third graders. So we started thinking, wouldn't it be neat if when our team goes down to Cuba next February, we also delivered Bibles to their third graders in Spanish so that those children who are a part of our sister church could also have their own Bible. So that's exactly what we're going to do. And so your generosity will help support that initiative as well. So thank you. As you leave today, you'll find the mission boxes located at the exit, and you can place your gifts for that effort there. Well, we move now into a time of prayer as a community of faith. And I would invite you to remember those folks among us in our congregation who are at home or in the hospitals. You'll see on the screen a list of names that you can be praying for in particular. You likely have folks in your own family or workplace or neighborhood that you want to remember as well today, and I would invite you to do that during a moment of silence here in just a few moments. And then I also am mindful that today is September the 11th, and that 15 years ago today, there are persons who experienced a terrible tragedy, particularly those who lost a loved one. I think of those who were young children and who have grown up and are now late adolescent or young adults who have gone without a parent because of what happened 15 years ago. I think of some who may have just recently been married, who lost their spouse and continue to mourn the loss of life, and others who lost friends and other family members. And I also am mindful today of how just shortly after that event 15 years ago, there was a great sense of unity among the people in our country, and how far we have traveled from that place in 15 years. And so I want to encourage you to think about something this morning. I want you to ask God into your heart and life, specifically about how you can be a person who moves toward embracing diversity, who moves toward caring for others even when we disagree, and the ways in which we speak and which we act reflect above all else our witness as followers of Jesus Christ. When we listen to the words of Jesus and we watch the actions of Jesus, what do they tell us about how we should treat other people even when we have strong disagreements with them? So I'd just invite you to spend, as you begin prayer today, a few moments reflecting on your own witness in that regard, and also remember folks for whom you care deeply, and then I'll offer a prayer for us all. Good and gracious God, as we enter into conversation with you this morning, we pray for hearts that are turned toward you and lives that are oriented around your Son, Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for the children, for the ones that have been entrusted into our care in our families and here in our church. For the ones who are a part of our sister church in Cuba, whom we have the opportunity to serve as well. And for all your children everywhere on this earth, a sign that you have not given up on us, that through your continued creation and creativity, you keep offering signs of hope and bringing life into this world among us with new possibilities. And as we think of them, we ask what it is that you would want of us. As we think of those also who have experienced loss and death, particularly due to violence or hatred or war, we ask what the witness is that you would want from us. We pray that we would be bold enough that we would be willing to surrender all else for the sake of bearing your witness and your example in the world. We pray that we might offer ourselves for the work of bringing your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray that we might leave a legacy behind that reflects your goodness. And so now as we continue to worship, make us attentive to what you have to say this morning. And now bind us together as your people, joining in the words that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Give thanks for God's power revealed among us and through the church. And now we come to a time when, as an expression of our faith and our desire to participate in God's work in the world today, we bring offerings that can be used in transformative ways. So I'll invite the ushers to come forward, and as they do, let me invite you to pray with me. good and gracious God, giver of all good gifts. We thank you for the opportunity to give back as a way to share some of the resources that you have entrusted to us to work that brings hope and possibility into lives. Now take our gifts and multiply them by your grace. In Christ's name we pray.
Steve said this morning, we gave as gifts more than 40 Bibles to third graders. And as I was reading with them, I said, I'm going to read from the very Bible that they received this morning. And I gave them a hint. I said, if you open the Bible about halfway, you typically end up in the Psalms or Proverbs. And then if you open the back of that, about halfway, you typically end up in one of the Gospels. It's a hint that they might need, but some of us might need that as well. Because even as grown-ups, we might not be as familiar with the Bible as we could or as we should. So this morning, I'm reading again from the Gospel of Luke. We've been resting in the Gospel of Luke for the last several weeks as we look at who is this man? Who is this man, Jesus? That we follow, that we want to know more about, and the many different aspects of who Jesus was. Today we look at Jesus as a teacher, and we know that Jesus taught some really tough stuff. And we turn to one of those sections, one that you all may know fairly well. So turn with me to Luke chapter 7, or read along on the screen. Luke chapter 6, and read along on the screen. And as I told the kids, the big numbers are the chapters, and the little numbers are the verses. I'll begin with 6:27. You know, you guys laugh, and I laugh too, and yet in today's world, there are a lot of people who are adults who don't know even those basic things. So we're happy to have the opportunity to be able to be a little bit more specific and to share that with people. So, Luke 6, beginning with verse 27. And this is Jesus speaking. But I say to you who are willing to hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, offer the other as well. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt either. give to everyone who asks, and don't demand your things back from those who take them. Treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, why should you be commended? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, why should you be commended? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, why should you be commended? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be paid back in full. Instead, love your enemies, do good, and lend expecting nothing in return. If you do, you will have a great reward. You will be acting the way children of the Most High act. For He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked people. Be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. Don't judge and you won't be judged. Don't condemn and you won't be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good portion packed down, firmly shaken and overflowing will fall into your lap. The portion you give will determine the portion you receive in return. This is the word of God, and the people of God say, thanks be to God. Now let me invite you to bow your heads this morning and pray for me and share this message with you as I pray for you that God will speak the word into your hearts and lives. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Gold shoes meant that it was pop quiz day, and word spread very quickly. If Mrs. Brantley was walking the halls of Buholtz wearing gold shoes, then we all knew that there would be a pop quiz coming later in our British literature class. And those gold shoes, they were a moment of giving us just a little bit of grace, a few periods of grace, in fact, to cram for what we knew would be a very hard pop quiz. Mrs. Diana Brantley was one of my favorite teachers in high school. And she was also one of the toughest. You know, I was a pretty good student. And yet, Mrs. Brantley had a way of wanting me to do even better, challenging me to do even better. She had this way of showing respect and caring to her students, along with a portion of grace, while at the same time expecting very much of us, expecting so much of us that we wanted to then turn around and offer to her our very best. Jesus was a teacher. We know him as lots of other things as well. Healer, Redeemer, Savior, Lord, Messiah. But you know what? More than anything else, Jesus was called teacher. In fact, in the Gospels, those four accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, those accounts of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, Jesus is called many things, but more than anything else, in fact, almost 45 times, Jesus is referred to as teacher. Jesus was our teacher. And perhaps his most famous, his most well-known, the most familiar words of Jesus' teaching are some of the words that we read today. Now it's just known as the golden rule. You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And we sometimes forget that Jesus was one of the ones who said those words and encouraged us to treat others like we would want them to treat us. Now,
Sermon on the Mount.
Well, it's actually the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew. That just means that Jesus was preaching from the mountain when he preached these words. But that's in the Gospel of Matthew. But here in the Gospel of Luke, we have some of those same teachings, but here Luke says it's on a level place. So we picture Jesus out in the big flat field teaching his disciples. And he taught things that were difficult. If we truly listened to them, they were difficult things to think about doing. Jesus says not just to love our friends, but to love our enemies. Jesus says to be kind and to do good to those who hate us, to do good to those who want only the worst for us. Jesus says to turn the other cheek, not to strike back. You know, we all know that people used to live by the adage of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I told the kids today, that means, you know, if somebody punches you in the eye, then you turn around and punch them back. And if they knock out your tooth, then you turn around and knock their tooth out back. But you know what happens? What happens when we do that? We end up with a bunch of people who are blind and toothless. And that really doesn't help anybody. So what Jesus said was that we should do things in a different way. Jesus challenged us to be different. Jesus teaches us that we shouldn't punch back and we shouldn't hurt. But instead we should be loving, even to those who are the very hardest to love. He teaches us not to judge others. He teaches us to forgive. And he teaches us to give generously. And he teaches us to do all of these things for one reason. Because God is love. And we are children of God, and therefore we should act like God. We do these things because God is love. That's what makes us different. And, you know, the more the disciples were around Jesus and the more they paid attention to his teaching, the more that they could see that what they did and what they said flowed out of who they were as children of God. The way they were called to live became less a list of rules to live by and instead became the teaching that actually changed their lives. This morning, there were 40 plus kids gathered around this railing, and we gave to each of them the gift of a Bible. And as we did that today, I thought this week about the Bibles that I have received over the years. When I was an infant, I received this Bible. I believe it was in honor of my baptism, presented to Catherine Ann Fluck, the Juanita Stott Bible class of Fairmont Methodist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. And it has my birthday, May 6, 1964. You don't need to try to figure it out. I'm 52. You know, even though I couldn't read it then, this was a sign of how significant it is for us to have a Bible. This Bible I received when I was in the third grade. From you all, Trinity United Methodist Church. And just this morning, I looked again at the presentation page and paid attention, presented to Catherine Ann Fluck by Trinity United Methodist Church, the date, September 11th, 1972. God has a funny way of doing things. But you know, this one wasn't so easy to read. I'm not sure we really knew then that it should be something that would be easy enough for third graders to read and understand. So, it wasn't until I was in the ninth grade that I really began reading the Bible. You see, on the shelf where my mother sat in the family room a lot, I found this Bible. It's a living Bible, a paraphrase of Scripture, and I stole it from her. I don't think she really minds. And I began reading it. When I came home from school in the afternoon, I would lay down on my bed and I would just begin reading and poring over the words. And as I look back at it, I can see all of this yellow highlighting that I did when I was in high school, highlighting those words and the teachings that meant so much to me. But you know what? It wasn't just the teaching that had an impact on me. It's that through the teachings, we come to know Christ. We come to know Jesus Christ. The Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, says this about the Bible. It is, we often say, the Word of God. But it is the Word of God not because it is the primary and central witness in history to God. Listen to that again. It is the Word of God not because it is the primary and central witness in history to God. Jesus Christ is that. But because the Bible is the primary witness to Jesus Christ. You know, as I read the Bible and as I abided in it, as I committed those words to my heart and to my life, as I made my home in the teachings of Christ, then I came to know and to follow. As I think back about the words that I have treasured over the years, many different passages of Scripture come to my mind. First of all, when I was a teenager and beginning to grow and deepen my faith and my prayer life, I went again and again to those words, ask and it will be given you, search and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you, for whoever asks will receive, and everyone who searches will find, and for anyone who knocks at the door, it will be open. You know, and then there were times as a follower, and there still are times as a follower of Christ, that we might have those days that we decide it's just too much work. Maybe we don't want to follow. Maybe we don't want to be challenged that much. And it's then that the words of Jesus convict me. If anyone would be my followers, let them take up their cross daily and deny themselves and follow me. And then it was when I was in college and struggling with a call to ministry, and I really didn't want to accept that call to ministry, that God led me as I was searching for these words in Scripture. The harvest is plentiful, and the laborers are few. Ask therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into God's harvest. And of course, you guys know, there are times that are so difficult when we experience loss and pain and mourning. And then those comforting words of Jesus come to my mind. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and will give you rest for your souls. And then there are times when I can go into a frenzy, and I worry about things, and I'm way too busy doing way too much, and I hear those words, Catherine, Catherine, Martha, Martha, why are you distracted by so many things? needed, and Mary has chosen the better part. And then, believe it or not, there are times over the years when I had a really bad day in ministry, and I'm not sure if I really want to continue. You know, sometimes those days just happen. And then the words of Jesus come to me. Catherine, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will last. And whatever you ask in the name of my Father will be given to you. One that we all know and is foundational for who we are. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not die, but will have everlasting life. These are the teachings of Jesus, that when we abide in them and make them our home, then we become disciples, followers of Jesus. Then we come to know Jesus. When I was a child, we had one of those weekends where my parents said, "We're going to see family." You know, that was never really thrilling. "We're going to see family." Okay. For me, that usually meant old people. And sure enough, that was true. We went to go see my great-grandfather's cousin, and she was 90 years old. So we went to her house, and I remember very clearly there was this small living room, and there she was, Mrs. Afflebach, Emma Afflebach, sitting in a chair. She had an aspen over her lap, and she had a book open on her lap. And she called me over, and she showed me that book. And it was a Bible. It was her Bible. And she read to me out of the Bible, and she told me some stories out of the Bible. And I remember leaving just so impressed by how well she knew the teachings of Jesus, but also who she was. She told me that every time she read the Bible, she would write the date in the Bible. She would write the date where she started the Old Testament and then where she finished the Old Testament. And where she started the New Testament and where she finished the New Testament. And she showed me some of those dates in the front and back of the Bible. In 1972, the year that I received this, my third grade Bible from you all, in 1972, Emma Afflebach died, 6 months shy of 100 years old. And when she died, her daughter gave my parents her mother's Bible to give to me. This is her Bible. Says Emma Afflebach. And if you look in the Bible, it's falling apart, as you might imagine. You can see all of these times when she has written down where she has read the Old Testament, started it, finished it. The New Testament, started it, finished it. And as I looked through this very carefully, I discovered that she recorded the first time that she read through the Bible when she was 22 years old. And the last time, of course, she was reading it when she died. All in all, she read through this Bible 92 times. But you know what? More impressive and more important than the 92 times that she read loving and generous. She was a deeply faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And you know, the words of Jesus ring in my head again. If you make my word your home, you will truly become my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's beautiful. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks to you for your word given to us through the Holy Scriptures. And we give thanks to you that it is through those Holy Scriptures that we come to know your word in the flesh in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the greatest teacher of all. Help us to embrace the teachings so that we might come to be disciples, true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. God, we give you thanks for the privilege, for the gift of leading your word that we might become devoted disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
It is in the Bible that we learn about a meal that Jesus and his disciples shared together on the night before he died. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell us about a gathering in an upper room. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all share with us words that Jesus spoke that night as they dined. How he wanted to give the disciples a way to remember him and what he was about to do long after he was gone. And so it's there in the pages of the Gospels that we remember and that we see Jesus taking a loaf of bread that night, breaking it, sharing it with them, and then saying to them, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And there too we hear the words where we remember Jesus taking the cup after the meal, and after giving thanks, sharing it with them and saying to them, "Take, drink, all of you. For this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance." And so we come as the church today, continuing to live into that witness and continuing to remember Christ's faithfulness to us, and to offer ourselves, just as we are, seek to be faithful in response. Will you pray with me? Gracious and merciful God, may our hearts be grateful as we approach a table where you have set a place for each one of us. May you pour out your Holy Spirit on all who are gathered here, and on these gifts of the bread and the cup, that in them we might recognize the body and blood of Christ, given up for our sake and for the sake of the world. And having been fed here at the table, may we rise to live as the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. So as we feast here, bind us together, make us one with you, one with each other, and one in ministry to all of the world, that we might be a part of your work as we look forward to the day when all gather at your heavenly banquet. let me invite those who are serving this morning to meet us at the altar. Church, the table of communion is always an open table. Christ opens the doors for all to come in, and so each of you, whether you're here for the first time or you're here all the time, are welcome to come and receive. We'll invite you to come and receive from the pair of servers that's in front of your section of chairs. If you'll come out on the left side of your section, beginning with the front row and moving back. Open your hands to receive the gift of God's grace, and then take that piece of bread and dip it into the cup, returning to your seats by the right side of your section. And if you'd like, as you come, after you've received, feel free to approach the kneeling benches and spend time there in prayer as well. Everything is ready, and we welcome you now to the table.
Savior, like a shepherd lead us, touch we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy fold prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us by meal. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us by meal. We are thine, thou dost befriend us. Be guardian of our way, keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, you'll hear us when we blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord, and only
thanks for this holy mystery by which you have fed us and nourished us for faithful living. Now lead us as we rise and go out from this place to love and to serve as you have called. Amen.
Would you please stand for our closing? Go out today, may you be committed to make the teachings of Christ your home, so that you may become a truly devoted disciple of Jesus Christ, and go knowing that the love of God is with you, the grace of Jesus Christ pours over you, and the power of the Holy Spirit will